profit from going the other end.
It's long. Well, listen to this.
We're talking about Pavarotti's ass.
It gets fluffier. Listen to this. Country singer Waylon Jennings, and I know you're a big fan of him.
Oh, yeah.
He's returned to a town he hasn't visited since his friend Buddy Holly's death in 1959. Jennings actually played bass with Holly the night of his final show, but didn't catch the plane with Buddy, having made, quote, alternative travel arrangements. They'd have to be the most fortuitous alternative travel arrangements in history, wouldn't they?
Yep.
I believe he was also invited out for a sandwich with Mama Cat, but had a prior dinner engagement. Now, have we got any? Can we go even more trivial than this, Mickey?
Hello.
What have you
over
got there?
Here, Tone.
Showbiz news.
Well, actually, a bit more than that. I've got some. How do I just say this? Michael Jackson news.
Michael Jackson news. And is it time for a quick freak watch? Yes, I believe it is.
We're in it now.
What's he up to? What's he done now?
Well, listen to this, Tone. Michael Jackson was so worried about the reaction he may have received at the recent MTV Music Video Awards, he brought his own applause tape with him and insisted it be used to supplement the audience on the night.
Really?
Yep. He also apparently brought along a number of children to cheer him on as he arrived at the awards ceremony. Now, that's the reaction he should have been worried about, if you ask me. Shh, shh, not now, kids. Later. Go home. Play with the animals. But Tone, if he's genuinely interested in supplementing people's reaction to him, the tape he carries around with him should go a little bit more like this. That's what he wants. Ladies and gentlemen, to present the award for the best rock performance in a video clip, please welcome Michael Jackson. And the beauty is, it could be used on virtually any occasion, wherever he is. Hey, Michael, apparently your genitalia is showing on your latest video clip. Hey, Michael, Lisa Marie said to say thanks for last night. Hey, Michael, take the bandages off and give us a look at your new nose.
A specialty for the youngster.
That'd be Simple Minds taking us way back to the early 80s here on Martin Malloy. And I tell you what we haven't had on the show for a while, Mickey. We haven't had an
almost amusing personal anecdote
for quite some time from your good self.
Well, we're picking up the pieces today, aren't we? Tim, let me get straight into it. Tone, I'm coming to work this morning and I see a bloke with his bare hands rip a parking meter out of a sidewalk, smack it like an axe three times into a brick wall, and then start bawling like a baby when the contents rolled into a gutter and down a drain. And you know what I thought? I thought, I'll bet he's the very first bloke to feel the gut-wrenching agony, to be enveloped in the sheer bloody horror of accidentally pumping one of those new $150 coins into a meter. And I think it's fair to say he wasn't taking it well.
No.
And you wouldn't, would you? Oh, in that situation, you'd probably be a tad agitated. I'd reckon there'd be a fair bit of potty talk. For the rest of that day, say at the office, you'd be a bit of a prickly pear. Hi, Kev, shut up or I'll stab you with my pencil, dickhead. You know, that kind of thing. Bit snappy.
Yeah, sure.
Bit moody. Bit brooding. This is going to cause trouble, Tone, I've got to tell you. Everything is going to change now. I tell you, catch one. Just one of your mates with his hand down the back of your couch and you'll be kicking heads. Any situation. The cigarette machine, Tone.
Oh,
there you go. Man. You pop it in. You go, oh, no, there goes it. Oh. Probably wouldn't matter anyway. You'd still be a couple of dollars short for a packet of Winnie Blue. But imagine, Tone, you're skipping down the sunny side of the street with a bit of a spring in the step, stopping only to watch some, I don't know, well-meaning throwback to the hippie genre, strumming away to some cornball folksy gear, and you think, hey, he looks like he could use a new pair of sandals. I'll flip a Goldie into the guitar case. You'd get home, check out the change pocket, rush to the dunny and just spew. What about the hippie? He'd be packing up after the gig, spot the booty and stain the caftan before making a beeline to Dieter Brummer's house. Oh, and that night, Tone, when our friend from the age of Aquarius got home, he'd shut the door, turn on the light And there you'd be, sitting in the chair, filing your nails, going, "G'day, Arlo. Remember me? 2:30, down the mall. Hey, Arlo, I think you've got something that belongs to me, don't you? Hmm? Oh, by the way, have you met my friend, Mr. Blonde? Now, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Here's some thinking music."
Sophie B. Hawkins here at Martin Molloy with As I Lay Me Down, and a lot of people calling up asking if there really is a $150 coin, Mick. It's bona fide. They're out now. You can go down your bank and just demand $150 coins. Although, as usual, as we were talking about yesterday on the show, there's already the controversy and a lot of pensioners confusing them with the $100 coin. Guys, looking for a closer shave? Then get yourself the new Martin Molloy 2000 Twin Blade Disposable. The first blade cuts close, while the second blade just sits on its ass doing diddly. That's right, the revolutionary second blade is just tagging along like a dead set passenger, while the first blade goes bananas, cutting a swathe through even the toughest hair follicles, treating them like girls, calling them names like pussy and wimpo. The second blade's just kicking back, taking it easy, turning up when all the hard work's done. Quite frankly, the second blade wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Allow Mick to demonstrate the advantage of shaving with the Martin Molloy 2000. We can't show you Mick's face because he's in the police witness protection scheme, but we can listen in as Mick tries to get the second blade off its fat backside using psychological warfare.
Come on, second blade, have a look at yourself. How can you live like that, knowing that the first blade is out there every day at Sparrow's Fart, busting its balls, while you're sitting back in the comfy chair on the snooze? Have a look at you. Have a look at you. You wouldn't get out of the way to scratch your own ass. What's your problem, huh? What's your problem? You think the world owes you a living? Well, let me tell you, buddy, there's plenty of blades out there that'd kill to have a job like yours, you pillow!
And do you think the second blade gives us stuff? Nah, couldn't give two hoots. The first hoot's nowhere to be seen, while the second hoot wouldn't take a flying f***ing a rolling donut. The Martin Molloy 2000 Twin Blade Disposable. The ultimate in close, if somewhat selfish, shaving.
Get out of my sight, you clown! You make me sick!
Nicely said, Mick.
I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
We now return you to abnormal programming. Martin Molloy.
Just a reminder, the guest in the next hour on the program is, in fact, a bloke called Steve Griffiths, who's a pretty interesting character. He's been playing Jim Morrison for the last six-odd years in the Australian Doors Show cover band. But he's not Jim Morrison all the time.
Oh, no.
So we're not going to be talking to Jim on the show.
No, talking to Steve.
Steve as himself, and he's quite a character. He's got quite a few stories to share with us. I was in a cover band for quite a few years. Well, see, when you're setting up a cover band, you've got to choose the right band. See, everyone loves the Doors.
Yeah.
I was lead singer of an REO Speedwagon cover band for quite some time.
Oh, I think I supported you. I was with that Toto outfit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Care to give us a bit of Africa while you...
I'd rather not.
Maybe not. Might have the real one coming up.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to preempt it. But, Radio Gladiators on the way, people. And here's some good news. Here's some good news, Mickey. France has announced yesterday that it will cease production and export of landmines and destroy all mines currently in stock. Isn't that good of them?
Good on them.
They've realised that bombs going off underground can be dangerous.
Not the big ones, mind.
Oh, no, no.
They're safe as houses, the big ones.
It's just those little ones you got to watch out for. That's great, isn't it? Isn't that a bit like the Manson family announcing that no one's allowed to run around the house while holding scissors?
This is...
D Dion Farris with I Know here on Martin Molloy, where it's time to crank up.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today, it's one of our favourites. We've done this one before, and it's things that your dad says. Funny little sayings and phrases and bon mots that your dad just flips out, because every dad has a little saying or two. And I think last time the winner was, the phrase that won was, which part of no don't you understand? Which is a saying that all dads tend to say. Well, except the dad from the Rosella Savory Rice ad, because he says, which part of no, no, no don't you understand? Oh, I've been practising that all day. But my dad used to say, here's one from my dad. He's a bit of a prankster, a bit of a wag around the office. And I think this is a traditional. I'm not saying he wrote it himself, but it's one that a lot of people use. If someone shows up even like 30 seconds before 9 o'clock, just a little bit early, he goes, and I'm sorry, it's a bit crude, this one, he goes, what, pissed the bed, did you? And he thinks that's hysterical.
No, would he just come out with that off the top of his head, or would he...
No, no, no. You practice it out in the corridor. Okay. You know,
he'll lay in wait.
Yeah.
I've got one.
He's a craftsman. He's a perfectionist.
This guy looks early. I'm going to go and unload on him.
Yeah. Piss the bandage, mate. And in fact, I was reading about this Apollo 13 film's coming out. There's been a lot of talk about the moon landings. And apparently, did you know that when Armstrong landed on the moon, they're actually 25 minutes, this is true, 25 minutes ahead of schedule. Whenever I hear that, I picture my dad in a spacesuit waiting for them. Piss the bandage, guys. But so that's one. And we don't want them to be that blue, I'm afraid. That's sending people down the wrong path. Just interesting little phrases that your dad peels off. Have you got one, Mickey? What does your dad say?
My dad used to say, who's been eating my pies? My 4-20 pies. Oh, who's been eating them?
And that's just as well, because, of course, the segment is brought to you by 4-20 Pies, and they're turning on a fabulous prize. They've got the Sony Discman. It's a lightweight Walkman-style stereo for your CDs, and it's crystal clear sound. It's all courtesy of the good people at 4-20. All we want from you is a little saying that your dad says. Gracie, our producer, have you got one?
My dad always used to say, or still says, you should have stayed with the railways. You could have been a guard by now.
And I think he was right, Gracie. So you should have heeded his advice. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. Call us now, 1-800-657-657.
SAFM.
Well, where you live, that's Crowded House on Martin Molloy. We're playing Radio Gladiators. And, Mick, are our clocks out of sync again like they were last week? Some people are calling up with yesterday's challenge. Yesterday's challenge was those pathetic jokes that people do about if somebody married somebody, they'd be somebody else. And our assistant Emma's been on the phone. Emma, what was the one you heard? Is it a beauty?
Pretty weak. I heard it three times. It was if Whitney Houston married Gene Pitney, she'd be Whitney Pitney.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad
that's a winner in my book.
Yeah.
That's up there with Saddam Sharam. Let's not muck around.
Yeah, but you thought of Saddam Sharam, Mick, and you've got a boot full of Sonny Discman already. Let's go on to today's challenge. Today's challenge is funny little phrases, quirky sayings that your dad says. And first up, I believe we've got Natalie. Natalie, what did your dad used to say, or does he still say?
Oh, always. He said, just the other day, it was, what the bloody hell were you thinking, young lady? And I always do something wrong, so...
What kind of thing would you have to do?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I could pick up the phone and answer it wrong. It doesn't matter.
So calling up a radio station and dobbing it in. That'd be a what the bloody hell were you thinking, young lady situation, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
Okay, that's not bad. I think we can go a lot more colourful on that.
Absolutely. Let's give James a try. James, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
That's the way, mate. Now, your old man, he was a bit of a card. He was a bit wacky. Couldn't take your eye off him for a minute. What did he used to get up to?
He's a big sort of bloke, a little bit of a slob. And you'll be sitting at dinner somewhere in a restaurant and you'll be having a discussion about, anything. But if it annoys him, you'll say, yeah, that really gives me the squirts. And over dinner, that just does not paint a pretty picture.
Not painting a pretty picture in here, I can tell you. Okay, it gives you the squirts. Mind you, this segment gives me the squirts from time to time.
Mind you, James, your father, there's one thing we can say. He's a wordsmith.
Have we got Luke? Are you on board?
Luke?
Hey, Luke.
Luke.
Luke's dad's obviously caught up with him before he could get to the phone.
Big smacks for Luke.
And I think that Luke's dad's saying now, what were you thinking, young man? But anyway, have we got Kathy? Is Kathy
next? Yeah, it's Kathy speaking.
Okay, Kathy, what does your dad say?
Dad used to say, this isn't a discussion or a debate, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I think we've all copped that. And that'd be pretty stock standard for anything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, everything. Even,
like, you're asking for your Chrissy presents. Hey, this isn't a discussion or a debate, I'm telling you.
Okay, that's more like it, I think. Mm. But let's see what Cheryl's going to bring to the table. Cheryl, what does your dad say?
Yeah, hi. When we were kids and Mum and Dad were talking, we tried to butt in and he'd just turn around and look at us and say, when the doctor's talking to the patient, he doesn't expect the disease to chip in.
So he was accusing his own offspring of being a disease. What a wonderful bloke.
Still does it.
He still does. Yeah. Okay, on your Cheryl's dad. I think we've got time for one more, Mickey. Who's it going to be?
It's Helen on the line. G'day, Helen.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Oh, a lot better now that you've joined us for the segment.
Oh, thank
what can we do for you?
We had the squirts earlier, but it's all better now. Yeah.
Well, when we were kids and we used to go on drives, Mum would have her head out the window of the car looking at something, and Dad used to say to her, pull your head in, woman, you're making us look like a cattle truck.
Oh, yes, that's very romantic.
Oh, he was that type of guy, I think.
Okay, I think that might be our winner today, actually.
Your old man, there's no doubt about it, Helen. He's an old smoothie.
Isn't he?
He knows how to charm the pants off the ladies.
Yeah, 10 points in the romantic stake, let me tell you.
Okay. And they're still happily married, are they?
No, divorced last year.
So the cattle's been put out to pasture, as it were.
Yeah, I think he got knackered.
All right. Well, you've won the Sony Discman, Helen.
Oh, great, thanks.
And, what sort of music did your dad like to listen to, just out of interest?
The Goons.
Not the Goons. Well, I'm sure...
Need I say any more?
Okay, I'm sure you can get the Goons on CD. You can just goon on till the early hours. Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators today.
Not a problem.
And our commiserations to Luke, who didn't chip in there when he was supposed to, but I believe his dad used to say, you can kiss my Petuski.
Did he? Yeah, oh, that's a pity. We lost another caller on Gladiators, but I must say, you know, that's the one thing, Tone, that really gives me the squirts.
This is Martin Malloy.
I think we've had enough publicity already.
62 degrees, and you're up to date.
And in this hour, we dip into the file marked foolish behaviour, but next up, we're face-to-face with Australia's own Jim Morrison, Steve Griffiths, and it's all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
SIFM. You can now I found
you. Mick, over the months we've been doing this show, we've had a lot of people from bands on the program, but I don't think we've had anyone from a cover band. Well, not an official cover band anyway. So the biggest cover band probably in Australia today is the Australian Doors Show. And we're very lucky now to have with us in the studio a man who, well, he's the front man for the Australian Doors, who are calling it a day, having turned on a top night's entertainment to over 1 million audience members in some 11 countries over the years. He's Australia's own Lizard King. He's Steve Griffin. Steve, thanks for coming in today.
That's okay. It's my pleasure.
Now, is that an English accent?
It is, yep.
It's not really a Jim Morrison accent in that
case, not at all. I mean, I've tried. I've tried to adopt a funny American accent in my everyday life.
Right.
But not that hard.
Now, how long have you been talking up as Jim Morrison for now?
Well, we did the first gig in, when was it, March 89, so about 6.5 years.
Wow, and you've been right round the world with this?
Yeah, well, not right round the world. We've been to Europe and Israel and that's it, and New Zealand, of course.
Did the original Doors go, did they go to Israel?
No, they didn't. I don't think they
So you got to the stage where you're just making it up as you go along now.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. No, we get an offer and we think, oh, yeah, Prague in the autumn, that would be lovely.
What would Jimmy do?
Yeah.
Well, I've read, yeah, Prague, you mentioned Prague. It says here the band has performed at the Opera House in Prague at the request of the President of the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
He's a Doors fan, is he?
He is a Doors fan, yeah. He is. He's
got
a big
pair of leather
fan.
Pants.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I didn't really scrutinise his closet.
Fair enough, I suppose. But what did he say to you? What did he say afterwards?
Oh, I didn't meet him. No, I didn't meet him at all. No, no. I mean, you know, we're a tribute band, and he's the president of a very noble country.
You met the tribute president.
Yeah.
The guy who goes around town impersonating him.
Yeah. Check Vaclav Havel show.
You must have racked up some pretty interesting gigs. I read somewhere you played one inside jail.
Yeah,
tell us about
jail.
That.
The manager had a bit of a bet with someone. They said, we don't think you can get a lunchtime show on a Monday. And he said, well, I reckon I can. And we ended up doing Long Bay High Security Jail.
The phrase, no one gets out of here alive, must have been rather frightening at that point.
Yeah, you wouldn't start with, is everybody in?
No.
Would you? Because that's fairly apparent.
Yeah, well, it was a bit alarming at the end, you know. We finished the show and I said, well, and there was a bit of clapping and stuff, and we came back out to do an encore, and I said, I think we've got time for one more, and they're all sitting there very quiet. One bloke goes, we got plenty of time, mate. Everyone's got plenty of time.
Mm. Now, is it fair to say that you've been going with the Australian Doors show longer than the Doors themselves were together?
Well, they sort of formed in 65 around that time and finished around 71, so it's getting that way, yeah.
And you're about to finish up now,
that's
is
right,
that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good because, as I understand it, the Doors made more money after they broke up.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
So maybe the same could go for the Australian Doors.
It
wouldn't
could
that
work,
be nice?
Yeah, I'll probably have to die or something.
Yeah. What happens Friday night? You just get into the bath, do you?
I think people probably be a bit reluctant to pay money to see that. But
I suppose the band, too, has also been a magnet for kind of nutbags. You'd get people... people actually think you, Jim? Do you get, like, kind of bizarre things happening backstage, offstage?
Not so much backstage and offstage, because as you can tell, I don't look anything like Jim Morrison.
We right. didn't want to say, yeah, Steve.
Yeah, people do have to tiptoe around that, just in case they get offended, but no... I don't have any problems because I get off stage and just put the hair back and I can walk past the whole audience and no one would know me from Adam. So I don't get too much of that stuff. I suppose people expect a certain amount. They expect you to be, you know, someone that they've got this image in their mind of what you should be. And really I try and avoid that because I'm not the image that they've got in their mind. So,
what happens when people come along to see our shows, me? Do they really have an image in their mind of what they're going to see?
No, but you'll often see us putting on the false moustache and the big coat and trying to sneak out the back. Right. So don't worry about that.
Similar situation.
Try and get out alive.
Okay, Steve, can you stick on the panel for a while?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay.
No problem.
We'll be back in a moment here at Martin Malloy.
Hello.
And with us on the panel today is Steve Griffiths, the man who regularly togs up as Jim Morrison in the Australian Doors show. Now, Steve, I have to ask you, do you ever get together with people from other cover bands? Do you ever hook up with the people from Bjorn Again and the people from the Zep Boys and just, you know, have a big cover band get-together?
Well, what can I say? No, never. Never. I mean, we were in London the same time Bjorn Again were there and kind of saw them walking down the stairs at the hotel. And I suppose, you know, that's about as close as it gets, really.
We also read somewhere that there was a medium who kept contacting you guys and claimed she was in contact with the actual Jim Morrison, is that correct?
This is true, yeah.
Did you get together for a bit of a seance?
Well, I've met her on a few occasions, but I'm a little bit suspicious about the authenticity of what she's receiving because she claimed she was receiving messages from her TV.
Oh, yes.
Like the programme would go blank and then Jim would start talking to her from her television.
Are you sure she just wasn't watching Rage one night?
Well, I've
seen a lot of Rage
about.
Where it's just all blank for ages and then Jim Morrison comes on. I've seen that myself.
But it was even worse when it became apparent that the TV wasn't even switched on and she was still receiving messages.
Nice.
From the great man in the sky.
So. Oh, I see. So the people came around with the net and you haven't heard from her since? Would that be fair to say?
No, and I don't think it was Jim Morrison anyway because the poetry that he was dictating to her was absolutely appalling.
So it was kind of your limericks, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Something about somebody being from Nantucket and it just didn't have the feel of the Lizard King's work.
And have I been kind of ever thought about getting the tackle out on stage?
Well, no, because that would be... it's a similar scenario to the bath thing, you know. I think it'd all be a bit embarrassing and it would shatter a lot of people's illusions, really. You know, I've never been tempted. I'm not hung like a donkey, so I don't want to go flashing it around.
Now, what's this about you... you've actually had a number one single in England, haven't you?
I don't know whether it's number one. We're on the B-side of Rolf Harris's Stairway to Heaven.
Have you got that top... at home, mounted on the huge board?
Someone sent it to me from England, and I sort of cringed and cowered with abject embarrassment. But no, it went top five, apparently. But that's because of, you know, it's not because of us. It's because of Rolf. And, of course, because of Jimmy Page and Robert Plant writing such a lovely tune.
Now, it all comes to an end this Friday night. The Palais in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to be a bit of a teary affair.
Could be
reminiscence.
Be emotional.
What's going to go through your mind?
I don't know. It depends what time the drinks rider arrives, I suppose.
Right.
I mean, it could be a fairly simple thing going through my mind by the time we actually hit the stage.
So when it suits you, you're emulating Jim Morrison. You don't want to get in the bath. You're not going to lob the tackle out. But you're quite prepared to go the drinks frenzy backstage.
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
Most definitely.
And it's all going to come 6.5 years, whatever. This is the end, which I believe is your only friend.
Yes.
The end. Where to from here?
Well, original music.
Original music?
We're going to stick in the music, yeah. I mean, I've been playing in different bands while we've been doing the Doors show, playing original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, you know, it's just reached a natural time to wind it up, and that's what I'll be putting my energies into.
And if all goes well, maybe one day there'll be some young upstart in leather pants running around.
Yep, let's hope
so. Doing you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, well, that's it. The natural progression would be the Australian Doors show.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us today, Steve, and putting up with our idiotic questions.
That's okay.
Have fun Friday.
I will do, most definitely.
We'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy. Martin Malloy.
In the third millennium, the world changed. Climate, nations, all were in upheaval. Humanity itself turned to violence as megacities drowned in a sea of crime. A crumbling legal system was merged with an overburdened police force and a group of ex-sportsmen suffering from premature baldness. These new guardians of the law are enforcer, jury, and executioner rolled into one. They are the judges. One judge stands ready to fight for the law. He is Judge Gregg.
Yeah, yeah.
With technology in the control of a small group of deranged scientists down at the laboratories of the Advanced Hair Studios, society lives in fear of their tyrannical creations, which threaten to drown the world in a sea of shonky hairpieces.
Gentlemen, as you know, we have been working round the clock on a hairpiece so vile and so crude that the world would be forced to look away in horror. Our endeavors have not been fruitless. I present for you now the Hedgehog 2000.
You've gone too far!
Silence! Is there a man amongst you brave enough and deluded enough to put this on your head and be seen in public? Well, is there such a man?
Yeah, yeah.
Strand for strand, this is the action blockbuster of the year. He can swim, run, ride a jet ski, bounce a soccer ball off his head. And when it comes to law enforcement, he has a secret weapon.
Okay, no one move or you're all dead.
Who's going to help you now?
Judge Gregg!
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Judge Gregg, I guess this isn't your lucky day. Shoot him in the head. What the? The bullets are bouncing off his noggin.
That must be the Hedgehog 2000. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
One man is the sole possessor of the cursed scalp, and that man is Judge Gregg. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Quick, smack that guy on the head with a baseball bat.
Righto.
Judge Gregg!
Yeah, yeah.